Thank you, Ashley Rose. That was very sweet, and I will admit my eyes got teary too, so I probably should have prepared and had some tissues up here because the waterworks may be flowing later. But it is so good to be here.
Oh, you are good. That is great. Okay, thank you. Even better to be here now.
It is so good to be here with you guys. And when I say this, I mean it. It literally feels like yesterday that I was in this room. Maureen's shaking and nodding her head. She was my table leader about 5 years ago, probably, when my youngest was very little. So it's just good to be back and back in this capacity and sharing with you guys my story and my testimony and motherhood in the little years. So Ashley introduced me more than I thought she would. So I had prepared to tell you guys a little bit more about me, but she has covered a lot. And I will just share, my husband and I, we met in college and both of us started faithfully walking with the Lord at that time. And we got married shortly after we started dating, and we have been married, it will be 19 years at the end of this month. So I cannot believe we've been married, thank you, almost 20 years. That blows my mind that we have been married almost 20 years. So by God's grace, and yes, I am a boy mom. My oldest is 14, and I have a 12-year-old son and a 7-year-old. And the time has literally flown by. I homeschool them, something I said in your stage that I would never do. And here I am 9 years later, and it has been such a gift to our family. And so I'm very thankful that we get to do that together. And we are a military family, as Ashley Rose mentioned. So we have moved 8 times in 19 years, and every time is an adventure. And God uses each time we've moved to grow us and sanctify us and grow us closer as a family. My family is literally my everything because that is the one constant that moves with us everywhere we go. So they are a tremendous blessing and gift from the Lord in my life. And I've also served as a Bible study leader and teacher and writer over the years, worked with parachurch ministries for the last 18 years. And most recently served as creative media director. So I've done some work outside of the home, but yet stayed home and homeschooled. And so I kind of get the stage of life that you all are in. Some of you juggling full-time work, some of you juggling part-time work, some of you juggling being a full-time, all-day, everyday mom. So I get it. I've been there, done that, and I'm still walking through that. So if I had to say that I had a hobby, it would probably be feathering my nest. If you can picture that term, everywhere we move, I get the opportunity to make a new house a home. And I love that. And I love decorating and hosting and having people in our home and just making our home a peaceful place for our family and friends alike. So that's probably my hobby. But again, thank you for having me here. I am very grateful to be in this room sharing with you all. I forgot that it was, or didn't know that it was your Valentine's memo or week, or else I probably would have worn red. So you all look beautiful though, and beautiful and shiny. So let me open us up in prayer, and then I'm going to share with you what God has put on my heart to tell. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this evening, this space that you have given for each of these moms to be in this room. I thank you for clearing schedules, allowing kiddos to be healthy, allowing moms to be here, and just to be able to rest and be in this space in community, learning about you and fellowshipping with other women. And so bless this night, bless the words that come from my mouth. May they penetrate hearts, and Lord, just use them for your good and for your glory. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so as I was preparing, I thought that it would be fun to ask my friend Google AI what the definition of being a mother of littles was. And when you read this, you're going to say, Google AI, you did a really, really good job. So I asked Google AI, what is the definition of being a mother of littles? And it spit back at me that it is a term for a woman raising children in the infant to preschool age range, often defined by the intense, hands-on, and often exhausting daily care required in this stage. This phase involves constant supervision, such as managing diapers, snacks, and nap schedules, And the term mother of littles is a supportive, community-based term among parents navigating early childhood. I think it hit it pretty spot on. I don't know about you guys, but I love that it said intense, hands-on, and often exhausting daily care. And then use the word constant supervision. Is that not just quintessential this age and stage that you guys are all finding yourselves in? It is definitely a time, motherhood of littles, is a time where your time, your energy, your body, mind, and spirit is drained and depleted because you are pouring so much into these little ones that you're caring for. Being mothers day in and day out, whether you are in the home or out of the home for part of the day, you still are full-time mothers. That doesn't stop just because your location is not in the home with your children. You are full-time, and the thing to notice that's pretty obvious is we are no longer living for ourselves when we become mothers, are we? We are now living for these other little people. And it is probably, I believe, the most selfless role and calling that a woman can have. You are literally giving your body, your brain, your hands, your feet, every bit of you, your sleep, your nutrients to sustain life and to pour in life into these little bodies. What an incredible picture of faith that it gives us, though, as Christian women, right? Isn't that exactly what Christ did for us? So it makes me think of verses like Galatians 2:20 that say, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Another verse, Matthew 16:24 says, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself or herself and take up their cross and follow me. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Doesn't that sound like motherhood? Okay. So what a picture. So I knew all these truths, being close with the Lord in college and through my early marriage years, I knew all of these truths very deeply. And yet I didn't realize that I wasn't living them out in motherhood until it took me years to repent of that and to really see the selflessness that I needed to give over to the Lord as I mothered these littles. And so that's what I kind of want to walk us through and journey us through tonight with you guys. And it's the thought that putting my hope in the Lord during the years of early motherhood meant dying to myself. And it's that idea of dying to self in order that Christ might live in me and through me each and every day. So again, I'm going to try not to get emotional, but I'm going to go ahead and hold one of these in my hand because I might need it in a bit. When they told me what y'all's theme verse was for this year, I thought it was so perfect. The Lamentations 3, 21 through 24. And especially love the end bit that says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. So being the Lord being your portion is when you give yourself up and let him fill you. So let me share my journey with you. And I'm going to start at the beginning. This is my firstborn. This is Phineas Dante. So with each child, I'll show you his picture, and then I'll show you a family picture so you can see what we all looked like at that stage. Very young. Very young. So that is my oldest, and we call him our greatest experiment because we thought we had it all figured out. Especially I did. I thought I had it all figured out. I had read all the books. I had bought the cloth diapers that I swore I would use, and I did not use them. I had the homemade baby food cookbook, and I spent countless hours preparing his little room in our home and took the Lamaze classes, which I actually did use, but just prepared. And I thought I was so prepared for his arrival. And I remember when he arrived, I just thought he was so precious. And I remember my husband wheeling me out to the curb of the hospital, and Finn was in my arms, and he went to go get the car and pull it around so we could take him home together. And this wave of panic swept over me. Like, what in the world is this hospital thinking? Like, how are they letting us leave with this child? Because clearly we had no idea what we were doing. None whatsoever. And that feeling of panic and fear did not subside for a very, very long time. And so that kind of started me on a journey, I would say, as a mother, to where fear and worry really became a struggle for me. And it became an obsession that I found that it was my mission and goal in life to keep my child safe. It was my mission and goal to keep him safe from germs, from unsafe situations, from unsafe people, from anything that I felt could harm him, mind, body, or soul. That was my sole purpose. I had to be in complete control of our home, of our schedule, everything. That was the way that I coped with that overwhelming fear. And so during that season, it was so hard for me to see the Lord as being my portion and my hope, because my voice and my flesh and my fears were the loudest things going through my head and heart. And it was all my way, my hope, my security, my direction for my life. Can you guys relate to that? Very much. So all of this worked pretty well. I'll put that in air quotes, the control that I had in our home. It worked decently well for a time, And then God orchestrated the perfect set of circumstances to just kind of make all of it start to crumble away, so that I would hear his voice and know that he was calling me to something more. And that happened about 21 months after Finn was born. We welcomed our second baby, Elijah David. And he was just the cutest, he still is, but he was just the cutest, most precious little bundle. And I felt more prepared for him because he was my second, but what I wasn't prepared for was the feelings that I had when I brought him home. And that was, I remember walking in and introducing him to Finn, and now that's our Finn. He wasn't even two yet. And I remember looking at Finn when I walked in with little Eli and thinking, what happened to you in those 2 days that we were gone? Like, he grew up, like, it felt like he'd turned five while we were away. Like, he looked so much older. And that, to me, it just threw me for this loop. And then that's when I started to really feel like that control of everything that I had so carefully crafted and fit together, our little schedule and our little day and our time alone together, my time alone together, my by myself in the afternoons when Finn would nap, all of that disappeared. And I quickly realized that those control issues were not going to serve me well in this new stage as a mother of two. And so honestly, to be very honest and vulnerable, it felt like a death. It felt like a death. And I say that because I think I grieved the loss of the perfect little family that we had had before, that I had created, that I had crafted. And it felt like a loss of something that I might never get back, because how in the world could we go back to that perfect schedule, that perfect home, that perfect sleeping through the night, that perfect, we were getting ready to be out of diapers, all of those things, and I could not envision how we could go back to that. And so it did, it felt like a grief in my heart. It felt like grief and it felt like a loss. But I think the deeper part was, it was grief and it was my control having to die, having to fade away. And I just remember feeling exhausted. The whole situation was exhausting. I was exhausted. But that is when I was at my lowest that God then could use that situation for good. And so he created the perfect little storm. Actually, it was a really big storm. The perfect big storm of things that he knew would bring me to my knees. And that was about a month after Eli was born, and I took him in for his little well checkup. We discovered that he was a failure to thrive. And it was due to allergies that my breast milk was causing in his body. What a helpless feeling as a mom to feel like what you're giving your child is not sustaining their life in the way that they need. So that was a huge loop. Then we started potty training our two-year-old, who, by the way, turned two, and you know what comes with two-year-olds, is lots of big feelings and emotions. I had never done that before. And then my husband, the good military man that he is, he went off to training for 6 weeks and left me alone in a community where I had no one. I was definitely alone, and I just remember feeling the deep loneliness for a friend, a mentor, just anyone who would just notice my day. And my heart felt frustrated, and it felt anxious, and it felt exhausted, and I remember crying out to God, why? Like, why is this happening? Why is life so hard? When I've sought you, I've worked hard, I've tried to keep control of all of this. I've done really good things, God. Like, I'm training up my children. I'm doing the things you've asked me to do. And why is it not working? Why can I not fix this? And so it was through that low point where God really began to expose my heart. And this is his graciousness, because through all of this time, whenever I was in my 20s, I had started having a consistent daily time in the Word and prayer. And by God's graciousness, he helped me continue that habit, because it truly was a habit, throughout my 20s and now as I was having littles into my 30s. And it was only because of that habit that he was able to speak into my heart. I wasn't listening very well during those seasons, but then he began to soften me. And so through those daily disciplines of just showing up for my quiet time every morning, that's when he began to whisper and call to me. And I'm so thankful that he did. And he reminded me of the verse that I'd memorized that was my life verse. It's funny how you forget those things that are so important to you, and then they come back on you, and you're like, wow, I never read it like that before. Like, God, was that really in the Bible before? Because I don't remember that. And my life verse is Jeremiah 29:11. So, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And you will call upon me, and I will come to you when you call upon me with all of your heart. That's the part that comes after that most people don't memorize. And so he reminded me of that, and it was like he was speaking intimately to me and saying, I have plans for you. And it is hard. Like, these are hard things, Rachel, but through the hard, I promise that it will come to good. It will not harm you. I promise you, but you have to hope in me. You have to trust in me, because I'm the one that holds the future. You really have to trust in me. And so it was like he was saying, call on me. Come and seek me. Sit alone with me. Be in my word so that you can listen to me and hear my voice. And I promise you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And so slowly but surely, the more that I spent time with him in quiet and digging into his word and praying and calling out to him, slowly my heart began to soften and my grasp of control began to loosen. And slowly I began to see how God was working in my life. So at the time, I remember looking up in my Bible verses on hope and God's plan. And I took those verses and I wrote them down. And these are them. I should have taken a picture so you could see them. But I wrote them down on note cards and I put them over my kitchen sink, on my bathroom mirror, in my car. And those verses to this day are the first thing that's put up on our wall in the 6 houses we've moved in since. They're the first things that go up. And one you'll notice is not a Bible verse, it's from John Piper, but it goes on the wall of honor as well. But these are just verses that have been so meaningful to me, and they are kind of my stones of remembrance to help me recall and remind myself to give up self, to give up that idol of self and trust in the Lord. I still need those reminders. So I had thought that my world revolved around me. I had thought that it was all about me maintaining this world. But God showed me that it was all about Him. And He started calling me to Himself and saying that the more that I clung to my own idols, the less I would cling to Him. Because my hands were full, right? So we have to come to Him with empty hands and in order for Him to be our portion. I knew I needed to repent and put God back in control of my life and my family and all the things that He had blessed me with. And the ironic part was I never was really in control in the first place. Isn't that the funny thing about control? We think we're the ones in control, but God is always the one that is in total control. So giving that back to Him, and in the course of the next 5 years, after Eli was born, God really, really blessed and deepened my relationship with Him. It was a time of great fruitfulness. My relationship with God grew. I taught Bible study. I did ministry, served and was loved on by some beautiful women. Our boys were growing and thriving in those 5 years, and it really was a precious season. It was a season that I would call a season of preparation, truly, for becoming a family of five. That's what He used and redeemed that time for. And so, this is our third born, and you can see how our boys have grown or grew, and this was our little Silas A, who was the baby that I had when I was in this group. So this was him, this time when my third was born, it was different. It felt different, and it was different. I was a different person, and I think that those old idols of control, they were still there. Like, they were still kind of trying to come back, trying to be rebuilt, creeping up. Those temptations were still trying to rear their ugly heads at me. But by God's grace, and because of the richness that I had found in my relationship with Him in that previous season, it's not that I had it all figured out. In fact, I realized that it was God that had it all figured out. And so that relationship with Him drove me to realize that I needed Him each and every day. And when I would fail as a mom, I found it a lot easier and quicker to return back to Him because I had been so close to Him. So there were still trials, and it was still hard because sleepless nights, they do amazing things to a mother's brain and body. And so I don't want you to think it was perfect, because it definitely wasn't. But it was so much sweeter because I knew that I had God right by my side, right by my side. So now it's been 7 years, and these are our boys now. This is our family now. And our oldest is 14, and like I said, we have the 12 and the 7-year-old. So I want to show you this because I want you to see this is life, right? Where you are now, this is just a season. It continues on. And Bethany and I, we were talking about the changes of seasons and the changes of life, and like, who was it? It was Sarah. You led Mums when Bethany first started, you know, as a director of women's ministry. And when I was here with my baby, Maureen was, you know, seasoned and everything. And it's just, this is a season, and this will come. I swear they will sleep through the night. They will do their own laundry. They will make their own meals. They will. And they will help you. And they will say things like my 7-year-old said to me at dinner tonight when I apologized for being pretty crabby today because of some stress going on. He goes, Mom, it's okay. None of us are perfect. So I said, well, thank you for your graciousness. So, but yeah, now they're growing up, and they grow up fast. And like I wanted to tell myself, time is a thief. I would go back and tell myself that. Time is a thief. But God has carried me through these last 7 years of being a mother of three. And I'm really drawn to the verse, and I know my time is running short, so I'm going to wrap this up. But the verse came to mind that I wanted to share with you guys in these final thoughts, and it's Ephesians 5, 15. And it's, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And this feels like it's never more true than this day and age. The days truly are full of evil and opportunities for us to be drawn away from our purpose as mothers. So it feels like at times it's hard to focus. And so I want to encourage you ladies to focus outward and not focus inward. In your days, I encourage you to focus out and up. And when you focus up in your quiet times with the Lord, start that habit, start that practice. Even if you're doing it when you're nursing a baby, start that daily time in prayer and in reading scripture, and do this regularly. Community. Do life with other believing women. Have mentors, women older than you, pouring into you. Have sisters that you're walking alongside, and then have people that you're bringing up behind you. And those can be your kids in this season. These are the things that draw you closer to God. These are the wise things. But be very, very, very careful of the distractors, because that's where the enemy likes to rob you. And so be aware of the distractors. And I think the biggest one is screen time and social media. For us ladies, I think that's the biggest one. And so be honest with yourself with how much time you spend on a device. Truly be honest. And there is a great book back there if you want to break up with your cell phone. It's literally called How to Break Up with Your Cell Phone. So that book could be for you. But be honest with yourself. And also the last thing is, practice an attitude of contentment and gratitude. The enemy loves to rob us of joy. And if he can make you discouraged and ungrateful, he has succeeded in just bringing you down. So practice an attitude of gratitude and joy. And remember that comparison is the greatest thief. Comparison is the greatest thief of contentment and joy. So remember that. So put your hope in the Lord during motherhood. That's the whole theme, right? Hope in the Lord. But that means dying to self, in order that Christ can live in and through you each and every day. So I hope that my story has been an encouragement to you. I hope that you're able to take some nuggets along with you. I'm leaving books in the back that have been very instrumental in my life. I'll put the titles on the screen before I leave. But I just wanted to pray a benediction over you guys before I leave, and you guys get together with your groups and talk with your mentor moms. And but that's Romans 15:13, so I'll put it up here on the screen. But I just want to pray this over you guys. It's just a beautiful reminder of our hope that we have in the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we just pray for these women. Father, may your hope, may the God of hope fill each of them with all joy and peace as they trust in you, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. Be with the rest of their night as they share. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.